This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
The Book Club Podcast, making autumn magical with Nevermore, The Wizards of Once and The Girl with a Lost Smile, all out now.
Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Book Club Podcast. I'm Bex. And I have got a load of authors for you to hear about today. We're going to be chatting to Emma Shever and Kate Wiseman. We've got readings from David Baddiel and Julian Clary's brand new books. And we'll be recommending some amazing books for you to check out as well. But first, I've got my book trivia question. Here we go. What books would you find the characters Snufkin and Little Mai in? Is it A, Lord of the Rings, B, The Borrowers, or C, The Moomins? I will give you some time to think about that question, don't worry, while we listen to Emma Shever and what she's got to say about her brand new book. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've written a brand new book.
I have.
What Lexi Did. It looks beautiful. So in this book, you've got Lexi, who comes from quite a big, intense Greek family, is that right?
Yeah, she's from a Greek Cypriot family living in London, and they're big and loud and warm and eat lots. And she's a member of this big, big kind of happy, sometimes, family. Yeah.
So is that kind of similar to your family? Did you write about what you knew?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I wanted to write about a family that was very, very close and where the families went in and out of each other's houses with pots of food because the mothers have this awful argument and then don't talk to each other anymore. And so the main character, Lexi, she's split up with from her best friend, who is her cousin, and the families don't speak. And so it had to be this really warm family to begin with and not people that saw each other twice a year or something like that. But my family is very much like that. You know, they used to spend a lot of time together and then argue lots and then, you know, there'd be big rows and they'd walk out with slamming doors and we'd be just wanting to play with our cousins and we'd have to leave. Yeah. So it was close to home.
I'm sure lots of listeners will recognise that as well. Mm. They'll know that deal. I definitely recognise it. Absolutely. Yeah. So in the book, you've got Lexi, who is best friends with her cousin, Ali. Yeah. And something happens in between them. Can you tell the listeners a little bit?
I can. So without spoiling anything, Lexi and Eleni are very, very, very close. And there's a reason. It's not just that they're very close friends. There's also a much deeper and more complicated reason why they're very, very close. And Lexi gets a bit annoyed by a new girl who turns up and takes her cousin and best friend away from her and ends up, she's really confused about when to tell the truth and when to tell a lie, which I used to be when I was young. You know, I think most children, most adults, you know, find it difficult to know. And so she tells, in the end, this massive lie, and the lie becomes so big and it splits their families up and their mothers don't talk to each other anymore and she's split up from her favourite person in the whole world. And she's stuck in this lie because how can she now tell the truth? Because she'll get in so much trouble. I mean, she's split these families up and they don't talk to each other and 6 months go by and she's upset everyone and she just doesn't know how to make it better. No.
Oh, that's such a good teaser. Yeah. Because now people at home are thinking, what was the lie? What could rip that family apart?
How can she fix it?
And I guess the story is going to be, how can she bring people back together and learn how to maybe accept that you're going to have to tell the truth or sort something out.
And try and work out. I mean, you know, there's a part at the beginning of the book where her dad says, tell me the truth and no one gets in trouble. And she tells him the truth and everyone gets in trouble. And so this time when they say, tell us the truth, she thinks, well, it didn't work last time. So, I mean, it's a tricky thing. So there isn't one right way of, you know, this is the truth and this is a lie and this is what you should do, even though that's what we're told by our parents. There are times when, you know, if someone walks in wearing something and they look really horrible and you really don't like it and they say, how do I look? You can't say you look really horrible because it's mean. So, you know, there are times when we have to kind of smile and say, you look really nice, you know. So we all learn to a certain extent when we need to do that. But I think it's more complicated when you're younger.
Absolutely is. Now, the book itself is, it's really fun because you've got like notes and lists in there as well. Were they quite fun to write?
Yeah, they're the really fun bits. I like having things on the page that aren't just the story. I like having lists in the book before Dara Palmer's major drama. There are post-it notes that the two sisters argue with each other all the time and they leave each other really rude post-it notes on the wardrobe. And so the post-it notes are in there. And in Amber, Dream on Amber, which is the first book, the list little sister writes letters to their dad, and Amber had this really great, not great, idea of pretending to be their dad and writing back. So the letters between Bella and who she thinks is her dad and Amber pretending to be mm-hmm. her dad back, they're in the book as well. So I just like having something creative on the page. And also for readers who find it more difficult to read just walls of text, to have something that's a bit more playful and broken up.
You've mentioned already your two previous books. Mm. What makes Lexi different from the last two girls?
What makes Lexi different? Each one of them has got a little bit of something that I went through or I can relate to. Lexi as well, because my cousin, who was born 2 weeks after me, was my best friend in the whole world and still is very close to me, and I dedicated the book to him. But a lot of Lexi I had to find out about. I don't know anything about Greek Cypriots. I don't know about their food. I don't know about their culture. I was really worried about getting anything wrong, and I kept asking probably so many questions that I drove my Greek Cypriot new friends mad, but I just wanted to get it right. With Amber, the first book, she's half Japanese and half Italian, and she has a dad that leaves home when she's younger, and that's what happened with mine. And so I could draw on a lot of how I felt when I was young. And with the middle one, Dara, it's about a girl who is adopted from an orphanage in Cambodia. So I found out all about a friend of mine has got a girl who's adopted from an orphanage who lives in Rome. But in a way, that was also easier because it was to do with emotions, whereas Lexi had to find out lots of facts.
Yeah, no, I noticed at the back you've got some recipes as well from the Greek Cypriot family.
Yeah.
Where did you get those from?
Actually, just before Christmas last year, the book was about to go to print. It goes to print about 4 months before the book comes out. So it was just about to go to the printers. And I was walking in Victoria Station on my way home, and I picked up it was the first edition of National Geographic Food magazine. Mm. And in there was a Greek Cypriot chef and recipes, and he was in MasterChef. And I was like, oh, wow, Greek Cypriot. So I quickly got on Twitter and said, hello, I've written a book about Greek Cypriots. Would you like to give us a recipe? And he was like, yeah. I was like, wow, okay. So there's... Theo Michaels, his name is, his book, his recipes at the back of the book. And then the other one is the lady who I asked 4 million questions to and drove quite mad. And she used to own a bakery, and she's Greek Cypriot. So she gave me the other recipe.
Oh, that's lovely.
So they're authentic.
What was the most surprising thing you found out about that culture?
There were lots of odd things. I think for me, one of the oddest things is that the most older Greek Cypriots, so grandparents, tend to have a lot of pictures on the wall, religious pictures. So pictures of sort of Jesus and Mary and a lot of saints, and they have kind of little statues in their house, and most of them have a saloni, which is like a sitting room that's only for, you know, best. And so they have pictures of all their children's graduations and then all these holy people on the wall, and you're not really allowed to go in. So there's lots of small things like that that you... we didn't really have that in our house, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody who's Greek Cypriot kind of nods and goes, oh yeah, we, you know, my grandparents had that in their house as well, or whatever. Yeah.
So you've got the three girls, you've got Dara, mm-hmm. you've got it's Amber, and you've got Lexi. Yeah. Do you have some more on the way?
I do. I have another book coming, but I'm writing something a little bit different. So I'm writing at the moment, I've got two possibilities. One of them, both boys actually. So one of them is about two brothers, and it's a really different type of story. And the other one is about a boy who goes on holiday to stay with his aunt. So I've written the boy and the aunt, but I've got some things I want to change. And the two boys that are brothers, I'm in the middle of that at the moment.
So you're pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah.
Lovely. Now, with every author that comes in, we have like a quick fire round of questions, if that's all right, just to do with you, just to get a feel for who you are as an author. No pressure.
Okay.
Let's see how we go. Okay, so first up, books or Kindles?
Books.
Every author says that.
Yeah.
Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, that's a tough one, because hopefully one of my books is going to be adapted for TV. So I think for children's books, probably TV.
Keep it on brand. Thailand or Ireland?
Oh, how could you do that? That's like, which child did you love more? At the moment, it's Thailand.
Okay. Mm. We should say to listeners, you have ancestry from both. Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely. Writing or reading?
This is painful.
That's a tricky one, I'll give you.
Right, a reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tortoise or hamster?
Tortoise.
Tortoise. He's called Slow-Mo, is that right?
Yes.
Great name. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop.
Do you like Jacqueline Wilson or Roald Dahl?
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
School tour. Teaching English or writing?
Teaching English. I don't know. Writing. I can't choose. You're horrible. You're mean. I can't do this.
I'm just checking. Now, the big one is the last one here. Yeah. This is the one. Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes, that is the correct answer every time. I don't mind what you say for the other ones. That's the one I judge you for. Brilliant. So, Emma, thank you so much for popping by.
Pleasure. Thank
and we should
you
say the book is out right now.
The book came out in April, yes.
Yes. So everybody needs to go and buy What Lexi Did immediately.
Yes.
You'll see it because it's beautiful, it's red, and it's got a lovely face on the cover of Lexi. Thank you very much to Emma Sheva for popping by the Fun Kids studio to chat about What Lexi Did. Next up, we need a reading, don't we? So let's have a little reading from David Baddiel and his brand new book, Head Kid.
Chapter 1, Inadequate. Bracketwood School had never, since it was opened all the way back in 1983, received an off-head ranking of outstanding. Nor had it received one of good. There was a very brief golden period in the early 90s when it received one of satisfactory. But then that was found to have been a mistake. The inspector had ticked the wrong box, for which he himself got marked down to not as good as we thought, and it went back to its usual ranking, inadequate. It was, in fact, a running joke in the off-head offices, not a place where you'd have thought there'd be much joking, but at least on the subject of Bracketwood, you'd be wrong, that one day they might have to create a new ranking for this particular school, rubbish. This was a problem for Bracketwood, because Ofhed, as I'm sure you all know, is a government organisation which checks that schools aren't rubbish. Parents, as you also might know, pay a lot of attention to their reports. Some parents, in fact, spend far too much of their time reading Ofhed reports and discussing them with their friends who are also parents and worrying all the time about which school to send their children to, based on Ofhed reports. Some parents worry about this so much they ruin their child's childhood. But that's another story. This story begins with the staff and governors and parents and even some of the pupils at Bracketwood in something of a panic, because Ofhed was coming in a month's time, which was even more worrying than usual, for two reasons. One, Bracketwood Council Education Department had announced, on hearing that Ofhed was coming again, that if the school got another inadequate rating, it might be time to think about closing the place down. And two, Ryan Ward.
So it's that time of the podcast when we tell you about amazing brand new books that you need to get your mitts on. I've got Imogen here in the studio. Imogen, tell me, what is going on in the book world?
Lots and lots.
Excellent
is going
stuff.
On. The first book we have is The Trouble with Perfect by Helena Duggan. And this is the sequel to a book called A Place Called Perfect. Bex, you might remember these books because the protagonist of the book, Violet, looks just like you.
It's weird. To the point when Helena came in the studio, she was like, that's really weird. You look like the character Violet. How bizarre.
It is very odd, especially with her big glasses and blonde hair. Anyway, so Violet and Boy are back after dealing with the evil Archer twins from the last book, and everyone in Perfect is really just enjoying their new life and their freedom. But then some more strange, weird, not-so-perfect things start happening in Perfect. There's things being stolen, and children are going missing, and everyone starts to blame Violet's best friend, Boy. So Violet takes it on herself to find out what's going on and uncover all the secrets from the past in order to do that. And she even battles a zombie monster.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
And quite scary.
So if you love the first one, if you want to find out what's been going on in Perfect, definitely one to read. And it's just brilliant. Yeah, so go out and grab it now.
The first book was absolutely massive, so I reckon this will be equally as big.
Yes.
What is next? What else do you have in that big pile of books?
Next up, we have Brightstorm, a skyship adventure. Ooh. By Vashti Hardy. So in this book, 12-year-old twins Maudie and Arthur Brightstorm are pretty devastated by the news that their dad, who was an explorer, has died during an expedition to reach South Polaris. But a mystical, mysterious clue leads the twins to question the story they've been told, and they go on a big adventure to find out the truth for themselves. So there's some really cool things about this book. First of all, the world in the book Brightstorm is almost kind of like Narnia. It's like a frozen magical world. Narnia or Frozen, depending on how you want to look
at it. Your references, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Also, they face a villain, and everyone loves a villain, called Eudora Vane. I think that name is brilliant.
That is really good, isn't it? Yeah.
The twins themselves are really cool, and they kind of challenge some gender stereotypes. As Moddy is quite a handy engineer, and Arthur's a really keen cook, which is really cool. And another thing you don't see a lot in books is disability. And Arthur has an iron arm. So obviously he has quite a lot of limitations, but also it also brings loads of hidden kind of strengths and benefits throughout the book.
Yeah, great.
So it's all round a fab little adventure book.
I really like the sound of that. That sounds really different to a lot of the books we get.
Yeah, it definitely is. I would definitely recommend it.
Excellent stuff. Okay, what is next? This one looks beautiful.
The next one is called Twister by Juliet Forrest. And yeah, the book is just gorgeous. It's got like a twister on the front, lots of animals and gold plating, and it's
ooh,
it looks great. So it's basically about our protagonist, Twister, which is a girl's name. What a great name for a girl.
Sure, yeah.
Whose dad goes missing. And as Twister is looking for him in the woods, she comes across a witch who gives her this magical necklace that holds the souls of living things, and the wearer can turn into a wolf or a river or a rainstorm, like kind of any of the souls that are in the necklace. But also in the book there's a villain. Yes,
you love a villain.
Who is also on the hunt for the necklace, and they're a pretty cool villain. They wear like a coat with creatures on it, and the villain may also have just something to do with Twister's dad's disappearance. It's quite fairy tale-y, kind of like a dark fairy tale thing. Great characters. They're talking like this fun dialect thing, so you really get into the atmosphere of the book. And yeah, it's really great.
Lovely stuff. Okay, cool. What's up next?
Next is Night Raiders by Ali Sparks. This is the second in the Night Speakers series, if you remember us chatting about that a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go back to the first book, friends Elena, Matt and Tima all wake up at 1:34 a.m. exactly. And ever since that, they've all had the power to talk to animals, birds and insects, which is so cool.
I wish I could do that, man.
Yeah, I know. So in this book, a mysterious figure kind of threatens to destroy everything, and they're tampering with the atmosphere and poisoning the air, which I can imagine is not good for humans or animals. So basically they need their power more than ever to defeat them and all come together. And it's a really cool little adventure story again, and I love that it all happens kind of in the dead of night at 1:34 a.m. which gives it this really cool like atmosphere.
Next time I wake up at 1:34, I'll be like, where are my animals? Where are they?
I can talk to them.
I need to talk to them now. Just double check.
And the last book on the list for this episode of the book club is a Liz Pichon book. Another in the Tom Gates series, the Tom Gates epic adventure in brackets, kind of.
I love Liz Pichon. She's great.
She's so great. And the books are so fab. Like, they're just so exciting to look at.
Yeah, they look amazing. I know she takes a lot of effort drawing and making sure they look brilliant. If you ever meet her, she even has shoes that are designed with Tom Gates stuff on them as well.
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
It's so cool. Basically, this is the latest book in the series. In this instalment, Tom's grandparents come back from travelling around the world and set out to plan a family outing, which, according to Tom, will be epic. As usual, the book is just a brilliant kind of assault on your eyes and senses, and it has illustrations and doodles all jumbled up in the text, making it super fun to read, super easy to read. You get a really good kind of idea of the characters because she draws them all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love Liz Pichon and you love Tom Gates, or you just want to be entertained by a book, you're not going to be more entertained than this.
I know that in Edinburgh, we did a show every day and we mentioned different authors, and Tom Gates books always got a massive cheer because everybody loves a Tom Gates novel.
Everyone loves them. That's just so great.
So everybody needs to go and get all of those books right now, please.
Absolutely. Please do.
Imogen, thank you so much for popping by the studio.
No worries at all.
Next up, we're going to have a chat with Kate Wiseman. She's got a brand new book out in her Gangster School series. Hello.
Hello, Bex. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming into the Fun Kids studio.
I'm really excited to be here.
Now, you've got the second book out in your Gangster School series. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yep. Well, the Gangster School series is set in Blackguard School for Tomorrow's Tyrants, where the criminal elite send their children to learn the criminals of tomorrow. In the first one, Millie and Charlie, my protagonists, who actually don't want to be criminals at all, but their parents are insistent that they become criminals, like, you know, their families have been since, I don't know, about 1628 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So you've got Charlie and Millie, who are your main characters.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah. Millie is absolutely positive that she doesn't want to be a criminal. She wants to be an artist. Okay, her dad's a forger, so she wants to sort of take that but sort of do honest stuff with it. Her parents are very supportive, but they're kind of off screen, they're not in a book. They do appear in the second one towards the end.
Okay, lovely.
Charlie is a lot less sure of himself. He's a kind of a criminal technology genius. He too doesn't want to be a criminal. His parents used to be kidnappers, but they found that they're sort of not doing too well at that. So they're investing all their hopes in Charlie taking the Partridge family down a different route of criminality into sort of cybercrime and stuff like that. And Charlie's very happy to do the computer stuff, but he just doesn't want it to be criminal.
Because these are dependables, is that right?
Yeah, they're both dependables, actually. Now, dependables in the Blackguards world are honest people like you and me, probably.
Yeah, people who don't really want to be villains but have ended up in this school to be criminals.
Yeah. Well, 99.999% of dependables are out there. You know, they're the people that the criminals commit crimes with.
Right.
But Millie and Charlie have dependable instincts, but they are in a criminal school.
So tell us about the school. What kind of lessons do people have?
So in Blackguards, everything is geared towards creating the perfect criminal for tomorrow. So they have things like fabrication, which is a posh word for telling lies, actually, but doesn't it sound a lot nicer if you call it fabrication?
It does, yeah.
And the teacher of fabrication in the first one has invented a truth detector, and they have to try and fool it. There are lessons in betrayal, in thievery, taught by Nick Lightfinger, who's not a very nice man, and he's quite prominent in the first Gangster School book. There are things like disguise and deception and discourtesy, which is one of my favourites, taught by a very small, aggressive lady called Miss Vipond.
So it's not like a usual maths and English lesson.
No, nothing like that.
Very different to usual school.
Definitely.
And in the first book, they had to defeat Bad Penny.
Yes.
What happens in the second book? What happens in this book that's out right now or coming out?
Yes. Now, the second one, which is out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's about a secret society called the Brotherhood of Brimstone. They used to be, a couple of hundred years ago, they were really big at Blackguards, and they were doing all kinds of really nasty, evil stuff. And then they died out, but they've been resurrected. And they've managed to steal from the school a massive diamond called Sir Brian's Brain. And there are lots of legends attached to this diamond. And the most important one is that if it ever leaves the school grounds, the school will be obliterated, and so will the head teacher in a particularly nasty way. So Ms. Martinet, the head teacher, is very keen that the diamond doesn't leave the school
grounds.
Sure
she is, yeah. Absolutely.
So Millie and Charlie are trying to track down the Brotherhood who've stolen this diamond. The Brotherhood also have very nasty plans for their canine companions, Gruffles and Wolfie.
Oh,
I know.
Poor Gruffles.
I know.
Poor smelly Gruffles.
I love Gruffles.
He's a really fun character.
He's lovely, isn't he? In the third one, he gets taken for a god by some man-eating sheep.
So we should mention this is a series.
Oh,
this
yes,
book.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah. You've given it. Oh, brilliant! I love that you've given away something. Excellent.
Oh, sorry.
So no, it's great. So if kids are listening right now and they've read the first Gangster School book and they're probably delighted the second one is on the way.
I hope so.
You're telling everybody there's a series. There's more books to come.
Yes. Yeah. There are at least two more. I've written both of them. Number three, set in Crumley's, which is Blackguard's huge rival school, but they're a lot nastier at Crumley's. If you get expelled from Blackguard's, you automatically get sent to Crumley's, and then you sort of, the chances are you're going to meet a horrible end, so you really don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, no one wants that.
But in the third one, there's a criminal conference there, CrimiCon.
That's great.
As you do.
Yeah.
And Min and Charlie get sent there. They don't want to go. And then Greffles follows them and he gets tied in with this block of man-eating sheep that are roaming the grounds of Crumley's.
So is it just the four books or do you think you'll have more?
I've certainly got synopsis for more.
Oh, wow.
If people want more, I can do more.
The
certainly.
Most epic adventures.
They're just kind of all bonkers, really.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that when you're reading, you can escape from all the scary stuff that's happening in the world. And to me, the Blackguard's books are just sort of like, you know, complete bonkers escapism. Nothing happens that's very likely to happen.
Yeah. But it's fun and it's adventurous and it's exciting. So you may know this already. I do a kind of like a quick fire round of questions with authors. Is it okay to do that with you right now?
Yes.
Just to get a feel for who you are as an author. Lovely stuff. Okay. So easy one to start off with. Books or Kindles?
Books. Gotta be books.
Excellent. Heroes or villains?
Villains.
Villains, yeah, it has to be
villains.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
There's so much scope with villains.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Film.
Disguise or thievery?
Oh, disguise, definitely.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
A laptop or write by hand?
Laptop. Can't write. Well, I can write by hand, but I can't read it again.
Roald Dahl or Jacqueline Wilson?
Roald Dahl any day. No, love Jacqueline Wilson as well.
Blackguards or Crumley's?
Blackguards!
Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
And salt and vinegar or cheese and onion? The big one.
Oh dear, sorry. Cheese and onion.
Oh, no.
Salt and vinegar makes your eyebrows go all funny.
What?
It just, you have to sort of crinkle at your eyebrows.
Oh, because it's quite...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll disagree with you on that one, but everything else I can agree with, I can get behind. For our listeners who are thinking this sounds an amazing book series, could you, this is quite a difficult one, I don't know whether you could do this, could you, in one sentence, sum up the idea of this book?
Evil society vanquished by kids with no particular skill.
And you've created the most amazing world for them as well. It's honestly, I love this book because it's such a fun world to be in and to read. So everybody needs to go out and get it when it comes out. It's the second book in the Gangster School series.
Thank you.
Brotherhood of Brimstone.
Yep. 24th of September.
And when that comes out, then wait for the third one and the fourth one and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh.
I hope so. Yeah. next year. And can I just say, if anyone's in Saffron Walden on the 4th of October in the evening, there's a launch party with cupcakes with nice little logos and stuff on.
Lovely.
Hearts Books, 6:30 in the evening.
Fab. Well, thank you so much for coming by. And if you're in Saffron Walden on the 4th of October,
yes,
go and check that out.
Please do.
Get a free cupcake. Brilliant.
Save one for me.
Thank you very much to Kate Wiseman for popping by the Fun Kids studio. I think it's time for a reading. We have a special reading now from Julian Clary and from his brand new book, The Bolds in Trouble.
Meet the Bolds, yes, meet the Bolds. Come on, meet the Bolds. You know you want to.
This is an extract from The Bolds in Trouble, the latest book in the Bolds series, written and read by Julian Clary. The Bolds, as you probably know, are a family of hyenas living disguised as human beings in a pleasant tree-lined street called Fairfield Road in Teddington. They wear clothes and hats to cover their hyena features, and none of their human neighbours have guessed their secret, although they have noticed that the Bolds seem to laugh an awful lot. Being hyenas, they can't help themselves. They also like to rub their bottoms on tree trunks and bushes to mark their territory, but obviously they can't do that if anyone is watching. Fred and Amelia Bold are the parents. Fred works at the Christmas cracker factory, writing the silly jokes, and Amelia makes and sells unusual hats at Teddington Market. Their children, twins, Bobby and Betty, are lively and funny and sometimes a bit naughty. So that's everyone. Except it isn't quite. You see, the Bolds have gained a bit of a reputation for helping other members of the animal world who want to live like humans too. They take in all manner of waifs and strays, teach them how to walk and talk like humans, wear clothes, use a knife and fork, and even how to use the toilet. You'd be surprised how many animals there are living amongst us that we fail to notice aren't humans at all. Bus drivers, teachers, athletes, shop assistants, prime ministers even. Only yesterday I had a new sofa delivered by two burly men wearing overalls. They huffed and puffed and snorted a lot, I noticed. It was only when I spotted their rather moist noses and saw a wisp of steamy sweat rising up in the air from their backs that I put two and two together. Yes, buffaloes. Brothers, I expect. I didn't say anything. Buffaloes can be a bit bad-tempered, and I didn't want them to start pawing the ground and charging around. Not with my new carpet and collection of priceless porcelain dolls I've collected on my travels over the years. But you see, I knew. And I knew because I have heard about the Bolds.
Meet the Bolds, yes, meet the Bolds. Come on, meet the Bolds. You know you want to.
Thank you very much to Julian Clary for doing a reading of his brand new Bolds book for us. It's nearly the end of the podcast, but first, I think you need the answer to my very tricky book trivia question. Today's was, what books would you find the characters Snufkin and Little Mai in? Was it A, Lord of the Rings, B, The Borrowers, or C, The Moomins? I can tell you the answer is C, The Moomins. If you got that right, give yourself a pat on the back. I personally am very scared of Moomins, so I did not know the answer before I researched it. There we go. Little fact of the day for you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you liked it, make sure you tell your friends, make sure you tune into the next one, make sure you subscribe and like and download. And if you ever want any more information about Fun Kids, go right now to funkidslive.com. Bye.
The Book Club Podcast, making autumn magical with Nevermore, The Wizards of Once, and The Girl with the Lost Smile, all out now.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.